Welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Mark Sell. I'm sitting in for Todd Wilkin, who's taking a few days off this week. It's great to be here with you on this Tuesday, November the 15th. We have quite a show lined up for you, and here's what we have. We'll begin with a short interview with Jan LaRue of Concerned Women for America on the recent Supreme Court nominee Samuel Alito and a document he wrote in 1985 which dealt with abortion. Then we'll hear from a Roman Catholic self-ordained priestess on the ordination of women. And later in the hour, we'll let you choose the Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Then coming up in the second hour, we'll talk to Dr. John Warwick Montgomery about Friday's Dateline NBC feature on the birth of Christ. So we're looking forward to hearing from you today. Our call-in numbers are 505-7850. That's 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. 800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. That's issuesetc@kfuo.org. Well, we'll turn now to our first guest. We welcome Jan LaRue. Jan LaRue is a chief counsel for Concerned Women for America based in Washington, D.C., and we're going to talk a little bit about the Supreme Court nomination of Judge Samuel Alito. And earlier in his career, he mentioned something about abortion and a job application for the Reagan administration. Welcome, Jan.
Well, thank you, Mark. It's nice to be with you.
Well, it's great to have you. Looking forward for your comments. What are you thinking about Judge Alito in this news release about some earlier statements he made about abortion?
Well, I wasn't at all surprised by it because this is a judge who's a true judge who believes in the text of the Constitution. What I find amusing is that at this point in time, anybody would be shocked to hear him say that the Constitution does not protect a right to abortion. You know, for years now, since Roe v. Wade, we've had legal scholars, lawyers, judges, both on the right and the left, who have admitted to being pro-choice, who agree that, you know, the Constitution is silent on the subject of abortion, and that the Supreme Court's ruling in Roe versus Wade is an embarrassment to constitutional scholarship. And it is no surprise to me to find that Judge Alito, in his personal opinion, holds that view.
Well, one of the things that that fascinates me about this discussion, it really does come down to how are you going to view the text itself in what can we read into the text, or are you just going to let the text speak for itself? I mean, isn't that the real issue here rather than abortion itself?
Well, it is. You know, for those of us especially who don't have, you know, a issue litmus test for Supreme Court nominees, it comes down to the issue of, does this nominee believe that the Constitution of the United States, which is the supreme law of the land, is in fact the four corners of this written text? Or is it this living document that the left refers to, by which they make up law that suits their own personal policy initiatives? And Judge Alito, as I have known for years by reading his opinions, is clearly in the former category. He believes in the Constitution as the written text, and that it is not his job as a judge to force his personal policy preferences into the law.
Well, I think that's a wonderful explanation, because in the end, you're looking at letting the text stand as it stands. I always offer the thought that it's sort of like coming up to a stop sign, and what if that was a living, breathing document? What would it mean to the next person?
Well, we'd have a lot of crashes, wouldn't we?
Exactly. Well, great. Now, do you think that something like this statement from this job application years ago from the 1980s, do you think this is something that could really torpedo his nomination?
Well, certainly that the rabid abortion advocates on the far left, such as NARAL and Planned Parenthood and NOW and People for the American Way, will be putting pressure on their left-of-center senators on the Senate Judiciary Committee in particular to try to make it grounds to oppose Judge Alito and to filibuster if necessary. And I think that they're going to lose on the issue, and that if the left does decide to start a filibuster, it's going to be political suicide for them.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. What would you say, being the Washington insider you are, what is the buzz today over these remarks that have been brought forward? Is there any kind of a general buzz there?
Well, you know, both on the right and on the left, there are some on our side who had some question about whether or not the judge will rule the way they want if the court does have a case before it that challenges Roe v. Wade on the merits. And so they will read into this, you know, as much as they want. But on the left, of course, as I said, you've got the pro-aborts who want abortion on demand right up through the moment of delivery to use this to say, see, this is what he will do. He will no doubt reverse Roe v. Wade, and that is an illogical conclusion, because when you look at this judge's opinions, you will see, as I said, that he exercises judgment and not will. And so, as he has explained today, according to Senator Dianne Feinstein of California, who's, you know, a rabid supporter of abortion on demand, that was a job application that he filled out back in 1985 for a political position. He was an advocate. Mm-hmm. And now, for the past 15 years, he's been a judge, and that's an entirely different issue.
Well, with a couple minutes to go, and sure appreciate your time, we're talking with Jan LaRude, the Chief Counsel for Concerned Women of America, based in Washington, D.C. Jan, I'd just like your feedback on Senator Charles Schumer's quote today, the Democrat member of the Senate from New York. He said, "This is the strongest statement we've seen from a nominee on this very controversial subject for a long time." Do you feel that way, too, or what are your thoughts about his statement?
Well, you know what? I try to avoid ever hearing anything Chuck Schumer says because he has about as much credibility as, you know, the Three Stooges, in my opinion. First of all, I think he's got a short memory. You know, he says, as far as we've heard in a long time, yeah, well, let's go back to 1993 with one of his favorite nominees, Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Clearly, when she was with the ACLU, she had written in favor of abortion as a constitutional right. Nonetheless, she was confirmed 96-3. So she had expressed her personal opinion, but no one used that to keep her from being confirmed to the Supreme Court. Likewise, it should not be grounds to deny Judge Alito a place on the Supreme Court simply because he disagrees.
Well, Jan, I sure appreciate the time you spent with us today here at Issues Etc. We've been speaking with Chief Counsel for Concerned Women for America based in Washington, D.C. Their website is cwfa.org. That's the website address for Concerned Women for America. Please be sure to look them up and see what they're saying about these issues. Thanks again, Jan, for your time.
Well, thank you, Mark. It's nice to be with you.
Okay, bye-bye. Okay, now we move on to our next segment. That was some fascinating revelations taking place with the Alito nomination, and it was good to hear Jan's information about that and what she thought about those kinds of things. Now we are going to move on to our next topic, and right now we are going to go to the whole topic of women's ordination. And we will be talking to a woman who claims to be a Roman Catholic priest, regardless of the Roman Catholic stance on it. The U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops are meeting in Washington, as a matter of fact, and this Roman Catholic priestess, self-proclaimed, was one of the protesters. Her name is Reverend Victoria Rue. She became a Roman Catholic priest last summer when she participated in an unauthorized ceremony. So we'll see what she has to say, and she says she's a priest regardless of whether the Roman Catholic Church recognizes her or not. Let's listen to what she has to say.
There is no way that they can take my church away from me. We are the church. The people are the church. The hierarchy are not the church. They are part of the church. They are servants. They're not masters.
Well, there you have it. That's her understanding of why she has the right to put herself forward as a priestess in the Roman Catholic Church. She now defines that, she says that the people are the church, that she's a member of the church, and that the hierarchical leaders really are part of the church, and they are to serve the church. What are your thoughts on this? I mean, this lady seems to be making sense in one fashion, because the people are the church. We certainly do believe that believers make up the church. All pastors are believers, even though all believers aren't pastors. But what are your thoughts on this? Give us a call at 505-7850. 505-7850. Do you think that the leaders of the church are there to serve all the members of the church, as this lady does? Or do both the leaders of the church and the church, do they have to answer to someone else or to something else? Now, this is a kind of a, it sounds like a good argument at first, but when you look at it, in essence, there really is no authority other than the church. So how is the church going to decide something? How is the church going to determine whether or not she should or could be a priestess? Well, it seems to me that what she's missing out on here is the authority of the Word of God itself. She's dismissing the authority of the Word of God. She's dismissing that there's any kind of authority, and that she herself, because she's a member of the church, she can determine what the truth is. She herself, as a member of the church, should determine what is right or wrong. I didn't hear anything about God's Word in this first clip. Ruth says she won't leave the Roman Catholic Church.
I'm not going to walk away from that tradition, because a few men are going to one day realize what they are doing. They are going against Jesus' teaching.
So now Ruth says that she is not going to leave the Roman Catholic Church because of those men, because of something that some men happen to say. Now, what about the Word of God again? I didn't hear anything about the Word of God. Now, she claims that she wants to go to the teachings of Jesus, but she is now saying that these men are contradicting the words of Jesus, that they're not following through. But you notice she still hasn't told us then even what she thinks Jesus' teachings are. You know, one of the things that I kind of wonder as I listen to this woman speak, as Victoria talks about how she views this matter and where she thinks the authority lies, you know, it just sounds too familiar to what our culture, the whole postmodern culture, deals with. It sounds very familiar, like those who really want to make up their own rules, as if truth is relative, and I'm the center, really, of my culture. I'm the center of my thinking. And now we're just going to place ecclesiastical language on that kind of postmodern thought, where really I'm the center of it, and I'm going to gather around me the community that I want, and so therefore I will make up the new rules. You could have your own culture. You could have your own theories. I wonder where she's coming from, because she still has not yet said anything. The Reverend Victoria Rue says it's true that the 12 apostles were men, but
all male except Mary Magdalene, who is called the apostle to the apostles. She's the first to witness the resurrection.
So all the apostles were male, and now she turns to Mary Magdalene, claims that she is known as the apostles of the apostles, and then goes into the important role that women played in witnessing the resurrection. But now the problem here is, what does that have to do with the office of the ministry? What does that have to do with being a pastor? She still is not addressing God's word in any way, shape, or form. She's trying to appeal to these sorts of things with little to no substance. I kind of wonder here if we're dealing with someone who is just another postmodern prophet. What are your thoughts on this? Give us a call at 505-7850. Or 1-800-730-2727. Now, maybe you're just thinking along the lines of, well, why can't women be pastors? Well, that'd be fine with me to let women become priests in the Roman Catholic Church. What are your thoughts on women's ordination and the role of ordination? And Reverend Victoria Rue taking these kinds of comments and protesting the Catholic bishops. Well, finally, this self-proclaimed Roman Catholic priest, Victoria Rue, says she's an active, if unofficially recognized, priest.
I say the Mass as often as possible with my house church every month.
So she prays the Mass as often as possible every month with her home church. It sounds to me that she is doing the postmodern thing. She's creating her own community, creating her own little culture, and redefining the religion as she wants. Our call-in numbers are 505-7850, 505-7850, and 1-800-730-2727. That's 1-800-730-2727. Let's turn to Kenny, who's on a car phone. Hi, Ken. Kenny, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, Ken. What could I do for you? Do you have any thoughts on the priestess?
Well, I just want to make a comment that she has, I believe, forgot that as a church body, we're to submit to the elders, and God places the elders within my church in that position. There's a lot of things that are done within every church. There's a lot of things that are done within my church that I don't agree with. But the elders of my church are put there, and I believe rightfully so, by God. And they're accountable for that. And it sounds to me like she doesn't want to be accountable to the hierarchy, that she wants to go out and do her own thing.
Okay, Kenny, thanks for your thoughts on that. So what do you think about that? Should this reverend be accountable to the elders of the church or the church authorities just because they are in authority? What role do you think ordination plays when it comes to women being part of it? Historic Christianity, for the most part, simply has always understood the office of the ministry, role to be reserved for men. How big of an issue is women's ordination to you? Please give us a call at 505-7850. Give us your thoughts on that. 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. Let's turn now to Jan in Atlanta, Georgia. Jan?
Hi. I want to start by saying that we need to interpret our world in light of Scripture. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. 1 Corinthians 11 talks about how women should function in the church, that we should not prophesy without our heads covered. So I see us as having a role in the church, in the worship service, but in another place in Timothy, King James Version says, he who desires to be a bishop desires an excellent work. And then he says, one wife, children well-behaved. Oh, what a heavy mandate.
Well, thank you, Jan. I appreciate your phone call. Well, we could be thankful that Jan brought us now back to the Word of God. And I think the focusing on what the Word of God says will then finally bring to us a proper understanding here. We can't necessarily look to tradition only for tradition's sake, nor can we look just to the hierarchy of the church, whether it's the Roman Catholic Church, the Lutheran Church, the elders of any congregation, and say just because they're there, we have to obey them. But rather, it seems to me what this woman is missing out on is the fact that whether you are a pastor or a layperson, whatever your role is in that church, you still must submit to the authority of God's Word, and God's Word will direct it. Now, there are many times when the church goes ahead, and there are various churchly traditions that are reflected from scriptures that we participate in, but still, it is God's Word. You know, one of the things that I thought was fascinating as I listened to this woman speak, this priestess, you know, one of the problems we find with the whole, this is generalizing, but the whole baby boomer generation, there does seem to be a real issue with authority, with wanting to speak against institutions and those kinds of things. I guess it would be interesting to find out how old this lady was, this Roman Catholic unofficially approved priestess. Because, you know, when I look back at the whole baby boomer generation, they tried to help us to realize how to do marriage right, and they didn't do that right. We ended up with 51% divorce. We end up hearing all sorts of things about how we could deal with our sexual relationships, and all that did was create more problems with that and out-of-wedlock births, and then we deal with abortion. It sure just seems like there are plenty of things that they tried to get us to do right. They wanted to do the military right, and the military got messed up. They're wanting to hit all the institutions and change them. You know, why should marriage just be a piece of paper that works, you know, that we have to be committed to, if just as long as I love everybody? However, now we see that they are now old enough to have positions of authority in the church, and sometimes these institutions, or sometimes these people then want to now turn to the church and change the church, and they're messing the church up as well. As if somehow, just because they've arrived at this point in their life, and they're someone who has the experiences of the 60s and 70s, now we're going to undo what the church has done for a couple thousand years, well into the Old Testament. I just wonder how much of what this woman is going through is because of that. So let's hear from you on the Reverend Victoria Rue. Call during this break at 505-785-1800-730-2727. Give us a call and tell us what you think about Reverend Victoria Rue and those things that that we heard her talk about. Give us some thoughts possibly about women's ordination. What do you think about women's ordination? Should the church participate in that? What do you think about this Reverend Rue picketing outside the Roman Catholic conference? These are all very important issues that we need to face. I think maybe we can also find out, what do you think about, what are some God-pleasing ways of women being involved in church work? What are the offices that we can see that both men and women can participate outside the office of the ministry? Give us a call.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Wouldn't it be great if we had a record of the actual discussions, dialogues, and disagreements of the 16th century Reformation? What the Reformers said, what they wrote, and what they meant when they said and wrote those things. Such a record exists. It's called the Book of Concord. Our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for November is Concordia, a reader's edition of the Book of Concord. Concordia Publishing House has two bookstore locations where you can find the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for November, 3558 South Jefferson in the city, or on the campus of Concordia Seminary in Clayton. When you visit, ask for the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for November, Concordia, a reader's edition of the Book of Concord. Remember those two locations, 3558 South Jefferson, or on the campus of Concordia Seminary in Clayton.
A man who leaves his family behind to attend Bible college is making a great sacrifice. This Global Minute asks prayer for Christians in India who make the cheerful sacrifice for the gospel's sake. Attending Bible college in India may require a man to leave his family for up to a year. Students at the Bible college run by India Evangelical Mission have made many personal sacrifices so they could get an education, then embark on church planting and evangelistic ministry career. Pray for evangelists and missionaries in India who have a passion to share Christ in places where no one has ever heard of Him. Pray they'll have wisdom, resources, and encouragement through fellowship and prayer. India Evangelical Mission invites you to discover good things for the gospel happening in India. Get a free brochure to India with Love. Call 1-800-268-0461. That's 1-800-268-0461.
The Meyer Minute is underwritten by the North St. Louis County Chapter of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, including Salem Lutheran Church on Parker Road and Lutheran Church of the Good Shepherd on Houdershell.
Welcome to the Meyer Minute. Rock, paper, scissors. I asked Diane, I know that scissors beats paper, but does rock beat scissors? Don't ask, she said. I could never get that straight. Whatever the rules of the childhood game, in life, rock beats everything. I will proclaim the name of the Lord. He is the rock. Deuteronomy 32, verse 4. Driving into Colorado, you anticipate your first glimpse of the mountains. They are waiting for you. Before the mountains were born, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Psalm 94, verse 2. Through twists and turns, through belief and unbelief, the Spirit strives to lead us to the rock. It's not unlike Zebulun Pike, coming upon the waiting mountain that bears his name on this date in 1806. Come to the eternal rock, and you have come to refuge. The Lord has become my fortress and my God, the rock in whom I take refuge. Psalm 94, verse 22. A man named Joseph placed Jesus' body in a tomb he had cut out of the rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb. Today that tomb is empty, the stone rolled away. Rock beats everything because the rock beats death. And that's a lesson we all need to get straight. I'm Dale Meyer.
Well, if you've never had the opportunity to watch a live radio broadcast, you have that opportunity on Wednesday as the Bible study goes on the road. We'll study Hebrews chapter 2 at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, where the Reverend Michael Walder will be our guest. Come and join us. Sit in. Ask questions. A live Bible study from Good Shepherd Collinsville, Wednesday at 10:05.
The Bible study on AM 850 KFUO is underwritten by Concordia Christian Books and Gifts, serving God's people.
I'm not going to walk away from that tradition because a few men are going to one day realize what they are doing. They are going against Jesus' teaching.
Well, that's a woman that claims that she is a Roman Catholic priest protesting at the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishop meeting this week in Washington. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Mark Sell, sitting in for Todd Wilkin. We're looking forward to your comments and your thoughts on this at 505-7850, 505-7850, or call our 800 number at 730-2727. So, now what would you do if your church body ordained women? Well, how would you react? Do you see women's ordination as an important part of your Christian life and how Scripture teaches about the office of the ministry and being a pastor? How would you react to that? Is that the kind of thing where you'd say, well, that's the last straw, I'm out of here? If they're going to start ordaining women, I'm gone. I can't handle that. Or maybe you would take the approach, well, they could ordain women, but I'm telling you, I'm going to be a member of a church where a man is the pastor. Let some other church have the women as pastors. What are your thoughts on this? How are you thinking about this issue of women's ordination? We just heard from Reverend Victoria Rue. She is a self-proclaimed Roman Catholic priestess, and she said that soon these men in the hierarchy of the Roman Catholic Church, they're going to realize their mistake, that they're not following Jesus' teaching. Now, the disappointing thing to me is she didn't talk about what Jesus' teaching really happens to be about. I would also wonder what she thinks about the gospel itself. What does she think the gospel is? I wonder if she thinks Jesus is true God and true man. Or how about this? What are some God-pleasing roles for women in the church? Give us a call at either 1-800-730-2727 or call us at 505-7850, 505-7850. Well, let's turn now to Jean in McCook, Nebraska. Jean, yes. what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I think that I really don't approve of women being in the ministry, but let's us men face up the challenge. We better start going to seminary so we can provide in the pulpit. What are we going to do? We have no men, so some women are doing probably the right thing by stepping up and doing this.
Well, thank you, Jean, for your comments. So, Jean now puts a twist on this. Well, where are the men? Put up or shut up, I suppose, is another way to look at this. So, he thinks that maybe these women are doing the right thing because the men are backing out of their responsibility. I suppose that would open up an entire discussion on the problem of the feminization of culture or the feminization of the church, where all of a sudden this feminist notion that a female element or a female philosophy of life is dominating things in disregard to the fact there are males. What are the proper relationships, then, between male and female, and the roles that being male or the role that being female limits you to? I mean, let's face it, no matter what I would do, I am not going to be able to have a baby. So do you think maybe that women are doing the right thing, quote-unquote, by entering the seminary because the men are wimping out in their responsibility? I thought Gene had a fascinating way to look at this, because he doesn't think it's right, but it's right if women are doing it, if men are backing off of their responsibilities. What do you think about this topic? 505-7850. Give us a call. And the area code is 314-505-7850, or give us a call at 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. You know, when it comes to the whole area of women's ordination, I had the opportunity a few years back to teach in one of our universities in Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. And, you know, sometimes I wonder if this drive towards women's ordination for many women becomes an issue of how men actually treated them, how they were respected by men in their lives. Many times I dealt with young ladies who started out by wanting to become pastors, and make no mistake about it, I think God's word is very clear that women are not to be pastors, that it is an issue for men, and it's a God-pleasing way of dealing with this, is to take a good look, and what does it mean to be a woman, a female? I wonder if men have been the downfall in one sense, where the men have not treated the women properly, given them their due honor, their due respect. I wonder if that's a big part of this problem, because many times some of these girls who wanted to become pastors with very honorable reasons, you start listening more and more to them, and there were also issues of relationships in the past. And so therefore they want to bring some compassion. Maybe a pastor did not treat them properly or respectfully. There's a whole gamut of issues that could come into this from a cultural and a sociological point of view, and I think we need to be sure that we're speaking compassionately and patiently in this context and make sure we understand how this affects the gospel. What are your thoughts on this? 505 1-800-785-7850. Give us a call now, 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Let's turn now to John in Baldwin. John, what are your thoughts on this?
Thank you, Pastor, for taking my call. I believe, you know, Scripture specifically teaches that Jesus ordained the apostles as to be men, and Scripture has men serving in the role as a pastor, elder. What I wanted to address is also, you know, she keeps making references to, you know, concerning what Jesus would teach, you know, but then is our concern to advance the kingdom of God and by doing things for Christ's sake, or is it to advance our own cause? And I believe, you know, in Scripture, when it comes to Scripture, we need to stick to sound Scripture, and there are times there may be divisions or disagreements, and concerning Scripture, we do need to hold to the truth. However, I do believe that needs to stick with inside the church, and I believe when she was picketing outside the church, we don't take the church's problems or divisions to the world. We need to keep it within the church for Christ's sake and advancing the kingdom of God. Whether or not our calls, specific calls, whether good or not, are involved. And, you know, Jesus said the world will know we're his disciples for love for one another.
Thank you, John, for your thoughts. Well, I think John is right in this sense, that we do need to follow God's word and what he teaches about ordination and women's ordination and the role of male and female in the church. And we do have to be very careful how we go public with the issues that we argue over or that we debate within the church. But at the same time, we can never forget that those things that God has spoken very clearly on, they're really not up for debate. We simply need to appeal to God's word and let God's word speak. Well, all right. Now we're going to change the topic a little bit. We're going to switch over, and we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week for the rest of this hour. Now, last week, Todd didn't have time to get to it, and normally they do this on Thursday, but we'll do it today. We'll play five soundbites, and we'll take your vote for Soundbite of the Week. Our best caller will receive the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November, Concordia, the Lutheran Confessions. So, we're going to start playing Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We're going to turn now to our first soundbite, and this is Dr. Larry Rass speaking at the 10th Anniversary Banquet for Issues Etc. on the Theology of the 19th Century Evangelist Charles Finney.
What is troubling, however, is the setting in American Christianity today, which continues to argue that we can keep the substance of the message separate from the style of worship that appeals to us. Finney will have nothing of the sort. His style of worship is linked to a specific theology, and vice versa. To adopt one for Finney means to adopt the other. But while Finney is right on the relationship of theology and worship in terms of practice, his own theological content is dead wrong. His theology is at odds with the scriptural doctrine of justification by grace through faith. It is a theology that confuses law and gospel. It is a theology that minimizes the work of Christ to save sinners. It is a theology that puts the responsibility for salvation squarely on the shoulders of human beings. As he says, religion is the work of man. It is something for man to do. It consists in obeying God. It is man's duty.
Well, there you have it. That's our soundbite number one from Dr. Larry Rass speaking at the 10th Anniversary Banquet for Issues Etc. Now, if this is one that you would like to vote for, call us now at 505-7850, 505-7850, or 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. That was soundbite number one, Dr. Larry Rass speaking at the 10th Annual at the 10th anniversary banquet for issues, etc., on the theology of the 19th century evangelist Charles Finney. Well, let's move on now to soundbite number two. Well, this is a little humor from Dr. Larry Rast. This also was from the 10th anniversary banquet for issues, etc. And Dr. Rast comments on the best questions that Todd Wilkin has asked him on issues, etc. Soundbite number two.
What hair color do they put on the driver's license of bald men? If a word is misspelled in the dictionary, how would we ever know? Doesn't expecting the unexpected make the unexpected expected? It took me 12 minutes to answer that one. What do you do when you see an endangered animal eating an endangered plant? How much deeper would the oceans be without sponges? Do illiterate people get the full effect of alphabet soup? Why is phonics not spelled the way it sounds? And how come abbreviated is such a long word?
Well, that was soundbite number two, some humor from Dr. Larry Rast, and the best questions that Todd has asked him on issues, etc. Call now if that's your favorite soundbite of the week. That call us now at 505-7850, 505-7850, or 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. Well, let's move on now to soundbite number three. This is Dr. Ron Feuerhahn on why do people continue to perpetuate the myth that Martin Luther used barroom melodies for sacred tests. Soundbite number three.
Because they would like to have us see that any music in church is appropriate. I like to use the illustration that it's Saturday night, you're at the Coliseum and there's a giant truck pull or something like that, a monster truck thing. Now, what's the appropriate pre-event music? Is it going to be a string quartet? I don't think so.
Probably not, no.
And therefore, in church, there's some music that's very appropriate to the spiritual, and there's others that's not. It may be okay out in the secular world, but it's not appropriate there. And therefore, they would like to introduce a type of music that is different, that they say will appeal to the people. The thing is that there's too much of this idea of appealing to the people as to what they see as they want instead of what they need. That's one of the big problems, and I think that there are a lot of people who misjudge that and misinterpret that.
Well, that was soundbite number three. Dr. Ron Feuerhahn sort of echoed the thoughts of Victoria Rue, as if people want that kind of music just because it appeals to people, as if people have the authority. But so be it. Soundbite number three from Dr. Ron Feuerhahn. If you think that's your favorite soundbite of the week, give us a call at Issues Etc. 505-7850. That's 505-7850. Or call 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. And let us know if soundbite number three was your favorite soundbite for the week. Well, let's turn now to soundbite number four. Soundbite number four is Uwe Simonetto reacting to President Bush's statement that Islam is a noble faith.
Yeah, I would. I think it's, with all due respect for this president, I think it's hypocritical. I believe that the violence that we're witnessing is inherent in many of the Quranic writings and in the traditions of that particular faith. That isn't to say that the majority of the Muslims are violent people, quite to the contrary. But to use the term a noble religion now at a time when the world over Muslims are killing Christians and people of other religions, and when even the Muslim majority remains a silent majority, by and large, in the face of these outrages, I think it's a slap in the face. I would just drop the term noble and would just say it's a religion, has to be respected as such, but a noble religion to me is something else.
That was soundbite number four. That was Uwe Simonetto reacting to President Bush's statement that Islam is a noble faith. Boy, that was some heavy words from Uwe there. I think it's some important distinctions he made, too, about Islam as a noble faith, a peace-loving faith. When you start reading what their texts say, boy, it's really more than just a peaceful religion. They do believe in a theocracy. So, soundbite number four. That was Uwe Simonetto. Call in now if that's your favorite soundbite of the week at 505-7850, 505-7850, or 1-800-730-2727. Let's turn now to soundbite number five. And this is Pat Robertson's statements about the judgment of God in Dover, Pennsylvania.
I'd like to say to the good citizens of Dover, if there is a disaster in your area, don't turn to God. You just rejected him from your city. Don't wonder why he hasn't helped you when problems begin, if they begin, and I'm not saying they will, but if they do, just remember you just voted God out of your city. And if that's the case, then don't ask for his help, because he might not be there.
Well, let's play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Call us at 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. The best caller gets Concordia's new book out, Concordia Publishing's House. It's the Book of Concord, The Lutheran Confession. It's a book that's currently out of print, but we will be able to, you can call CPH and place an order and put your name on back order there. So, but we have one to give away. So, give us a call at 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727 and tell us which one is your favorite soundbite this week. Let's turn now to Beverly in Florissant. Beverly?
Yes.
What are your thoughts and what's your favorite soundbite?
I love the one with the alphabet soup one.
I'm sorry, what?
I love the one with the alphabet soup one. That was funny.
Oh, the humorous comments from Dr. Larry Rast from the banquet.
Yes.
Yeah, that was pretty good. There were a couple of pretty funny ones in there, weren't there?
Yes, there were.
Yeah, I enjoyed the one about the alphabet soup as you brought up, and then I also enjoyed the one about why phonics isn't spelled the way it sounds.
Right.
I thought that
yes.
was funny.
Yes.
Well, good. Well, thank you for calling in.
Okay.
So, now what about which of those quotes do you think was your favorite quote? How about the rest of you out there who are listening? Give us a call at 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. The best caller will receive a gift from Issues Etc. It's CPH's new book, Concordia. It's the Book of Concord. They are out of print at the moment. Here's your chance to get a Book of Concord, this new publishing effort from Concordia Publishing House. Let's turn to Jan. Jan?
Yes.
Which one is your favorite
soundbite? Number two.
Number two?
I love the endangered animal eating an endangered plant. reminds me of me at dinner time.
Oh. Now, you're not saying you're endangered, are you?
No, but...
Okay, okay.
I mean, you know, just making those kinds of Solomon-type decisions.
Yeah, those were great. So soundbite number two is your favorite.
Yes.
Yeah, a little humor goes a long way, doesn't it?
Right.
Well, good. Well, thanks for calling in, Jan. Uh-huh. I sure appreciate that. So give us a call for your favorite soundbite this week. We have those five soundbites that we played earlier. Which one is your favorite? Give us a call at 505-7850, 505-7850, or 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. This is your chance to win Concordia, the Lutheran Confessions from Concordia Publishing House, currently out of print, but you could get, you could win one today by calling in. So let's turn now, and who do we have here? Marlene. Marlene on our car phone.
Hi, Pastor. I the one I like is Robinson's one about voting Jesus out of the town.
Oh, Pat Robertson's quote?
Pat Robertson, that's it, yeah.
Okay, now why you like that? Because did you agree with him?
I think it would be a good discussion, like just because we take a sign off of a building doesn't mean that we voted Jesus out of the town. Plus, I didn't hear his comment about why we voted Jesus out of the town, okay?
All right, thank you, Marlene, for calling in. Her favorite soundbite was soundbite number 5, and that was Pat Robertson's statement. Statement about the judgment of God on Dover, Pennsylvania. He said by throwing out by those board members of the school board not being reelected to the board because they stood up for a pro-intelligent design view of creation. And because they got thrown out of office, he said that Dover, Pennsylvania shouldn't even call upon God if they ever get in trouble. So, all right, let's turn now to Jane in Arnold. Jane, are you there?
Hi, I'm voting for number 1.
Okay, voting number 1. And that was Dr. Rass speaking at the 10th anniversary banquet. What did you like about that?
Well, for one thing, he could just barely touch on it, but I was there. It was really good. But Charles Finney has influenced so much of evangelicalism, whether they know it or not. In fact, I would say Charles Finney probably had an influence on what Pat Robertson, you know, said. It's a theology of glory. And there, it's just so much, and we've learned a lot about him on issues, et cetera. So I think it's a very, very important thing that he was speaking about.
Well, thank you, Jane. I sure appreciate that. Jane, stay on the line because we'll put you on hold, and we'd like to send you Concordia, the Lutheran Confessions, a recent publication from Concordia Publishing House. You'll be one of the popular people in the neighborhood because this book is hard to get right now. It's even hard at the publishing house to find one. So we're looking forward to getting another print run. But you won, Jane. Thank you for giving us a call. Now, as we now wind down this hour, we had 5 different sound bites, a lot of good thoughts in there, and a little bit of humor that we enjoyed from Dr. Larry Rast. And when we come back, though, after this break, we are going to be visiting with Dr. John Warwick Montgomery. Dr. Montgomery will be commenting on Friday's Dateline NBC feature on the birth of Christ. Dr. John Warwick Montgomery will be here for the entire hour, the next hour, and we will also be talking to him about, we'll probably start first with asking for his thoughts on what's happening in France. So join us then.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at KFUO.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of AM 850 KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.